morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning. Our order of service is printed for you in your service bulletin. We'll begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord, you are a God of mercy and great blessing. In your love, you have redeemed our souls and have given us the gift of eternal life. Be with us, O Lord, in the midst of the struggles and sufferings of this life. Comfort us with your promises, guide us by your word this morning, and bless us with the certainty of your presence as we worship you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 392. Worship service this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let's first consider our own unworthiness and come before God and one another, confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to us to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who suffer the consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our readings for today revolve around the theme of love, namely God's love for us. We find that defined for us in him sending Jesus to be our Savior, as our reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm reading for this morning is a responsive reading of Psalm 98, verses 1 through 4, as you see it printed on the middle of page 4. O sing to the Lord a new song.
For he has done marvelous things.
His right hand and his holy arm.
Have worked salvation for him.
The Lord has made known his salvation.
He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations.
He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Our gospel reading is from John chapter 15. We'll read verses 9 through 17. Glory to you, O Lord. These are words from Jesus to his followers, and he reminds us, his believers, that we show our love for him by showing love toward each other and then doing what his commandments tell us to do. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
Rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on the bottom of page 5.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn 845.
Thank you.
May remain seated. We ask the children of the congregation to come forward for the children's sermon. Come on up, yep. Yeah. I don't bite in the first children's sermon. I can't make any guarantees after that. This is a routine for you guys. You know what you're doing. Yeah. Come on up. Come up here. It's up front with Reese and Ian. Hi. Got a spot for you right up here. Coming up. Go sit with your mom. Thank you. Good morning. Do you know what day is coming up on Tuesday? February 14th is what holiday? Do you know, Ian? Valentine's Day, yep. You might be seeing cards that look like this pretty soon. Maybe you're going to give one. Maybe you're going to get one. Maybe you're going to get a bunch of them, maybe at school. They often have hearts on them, and they say what kind of things in Valentine's Day cards. What's Valentine's all about? Do you know? Do you know, Reese? Nice things? What word do we usually associate with Valentine's Day? Love, right? You see a heart and you think of love. This card has a nice message on it. It talks about being sweet and wonderful and good. So you're going to see lots of cards like this with hearts and expressions of love. Did you know that God has given you something that tells you, I love you? Do you think he gave you a Valentine's card? No, but you have one in your pew there. There's a Bible in there. And the Bible says that Jesus loves you, and he loves me. Now, maybe he didn't send it in a card like this, but he gave it to us in his word in the Bible, and he didn't do it by drawing us a heart and giving it to us. But you know how God shows us his love in the best and most important way? Yeah. Yes. Not with a heart, but with a cross. When you see that cross at the front of church each Sunday, you can think, God loves me. He loves me because he sent Jesus to die for me, to pay for all my sins, and that in the end, I am going to be in heaven with him. That's kind of God's way, his best and most important way of saying that he loves us. Today in our sermon, we're going to hear about love, what it really means, what God says it means. We're even going to hear a little bit about what love is not. So as you're listening to the sermon today, listen very carefully to what God says love is, and what love is not. And when you see that cross, think about God's love for you and how much Jesus loves you. Okay. Thank you for coming up. You can go to your seat. Yep.
Please rise.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is love, dear fellow redeemed. The text for meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll read verses 1 through 13. This is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One Valentine's Day a few years ago, I did not realize that it was, in fact, Valentine's Day. I should tell you all you need to know about my love life at that time in my life. And I walked in, unfortunately, to a very busy Walmart, filled with people scurrying around for last-second Valentine gifts, and it was probably 80% men, trying to look for that special gift for that special someone. And I remember near the front of the store, there was a display, and in big letters had these words, "Love is," and it was surrounded by all kinds of hearts at the bottom of the display. Do you want to guess what was being sold on this large display? Under the words, "Love is," frosted heart-shaped cookies and bouquets of flowers. I remember thinking, that's going to be in a sermon someday. And that's apparently what Walmart thinks love is, frosted cookies and bouquets of flowers. I'll give them some credit. Maybe they're just trying to imply that that's part of what love is, cookies and flowers. Now, obviously, and hopefully, we don't turn to corporate America or to Hallmark to define for us what love is. But in case you weren't aware of it, in case the first time you heard that Valentine's Day is in fact Tuesday, it is coming up soon. A day of love. A day in which that word is talked about and thrown about in many different ways all day long. It's advertised everywhere. It's promoted. But it's never properly defined. It's important then for us to turn to the one who is the definition of love itself, God. As we read in our text for this morning, our sermon, scripture reading for this morning, God is love. So this morning we will be taking a look at some of the things God tells us about love, about what it is, and also what love is not. We pray that our God, who is love, would send us his Holy Spirit to bless our study. One of the most thought-provoking books I've read in recent years is a book that's called Don't Waste Your Life. It's a book by a Christian author and pastor named John Piper. In one of the early chapters of his book, Piper points to one of the great misconceptions about love that we experience, especially in our culture today. He titles that particular section of his book, "Does Being Loved Mean Being Made Much Of?" And this is what he says. He says, "For most people, to be loved is to be made much of." Almost everything in our Western culture serves this distortion of love. We're taught in 1,000 ways that love means increasing someone's self-esteem. Love is helping someone feel good about themselves. Love is giving someone a mirror and helping them to like what they see. This is not what the Bible means by the love of God. Love is doing what is best for someone. But making self the object of our highest affections is not best for us. In fact, it is a lethal distraction. We were made to see and savor God, and savoring Him to be supremely satisfied, and thus spread in all the world the worth of His presence. Not to show people the all-satisfying God is not to love them. To make them feel good about themselves when they were made to feel good about seeing God is like taking someone to the Alps and locking them in a room full of mirrors. Did you catch what Pastor Piper mentioned love was not and what love is? Love is not making much of someone else and making them feel good about themselves. Love is instead doing what is best for someone, showing them the all-satisfying God and His love for them. If we are not showing them that kind of love, then we are showing them actually the opposite of love. Isn't that part of what our text defines as what love is, when Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? And also part of what love is not. Look again at what Paul says in verse 5. He says, love is not self-seeking. So love, true love, always seeks what is best for others, putting others instead before self. The Apostle Paul, who is the writer of this text by inspiration, also was inspired to write the book of Philippians, where he says this, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. In fact, doesn't the rest of the definition of love in our text support this definition that love is selfless, that it is not, in fact, self-seeking? Listen again to those words from verses 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is what God tells us love is. That definition obviously goes a little deeper than frosted cookies and floral bouquets. Goes a little deeper than a Hallmark card and a heart-shaped box of chocolates. But the question is, when we read that definition of love, that we should ask ourselves, whether we're a husband, a wife, whether we're single or dating, or just a little child, is we should ask ourselves, how have we measured up to this definition of love that God gives us in His Word? Has anyone here perfectly displayed what God says love is? Perfectly, even just for one day in your life. Would you be willing to say that you've perfectly displayed this type of love for even 1 hour in your life? Have we always been concerned with and done what is best for others? Have we always been patient and kind, not envious, not boastful, not proud, not rude, not self-seeking, not easily angered, not keeping a record of wrongs, not delighting in evil, but rejoicing with the truth? Have we always been protecting, always trusting, always hoping, always persevering, and never failing? I have not loved like this. I've not loved perfectly like that. I'm willing to bet that I have not done that perfectly for even one single hour of my life. How about you? Do we all have to admit the same, that we've not done that perfectly? Well, let me bring you some good news this morning. You know someone who has. I know someone who has. We all do. We know the one who has kept that standard of God's love perfectly, not just for an hour or for a day, but for a lifetime. That someone, of course, is Jesus. He is the ultimate definition of what love is. In fact, I'd like you to do something with me. I look at the text that we're considering today, and I want you to look again at verses 4 through 8. As I read through these portions of the text, I'm going to insert the name Jesus for the word love, and let's see if it actually works. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He is not rude. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus never fails. Does that definition of love work? It does, doesn't it? Jesus' name works in that definition of love, and he's the only name that works. But I do have more good news for you this morning. Because Jesus lived that perfect life for us, because he loved perfectly during his lifetime, God now credits that perfect life of love and that perfect love to you and to me. Think about what that means. That when he looks at us, he does not see the many times we've failed to live up to this standard of love, but instead he sees the times Jesus succeeded and sees it filled to perfection. He sees Jesus covering us, and so God, in his eyes, puts our names into that list. When he sees us, he can see that Ida is patient, Don is kind, Dan does not envy, Angela does not boast, she's not proud, she's not rude, Scott is not self-seeking, he's not easily angered, he keeps no record of wrongs. Wayne does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Terry always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Nick never fails. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? You almost can't believe it. That can't be true. You can't do that. You can't put my name in there because I've failed at those times. But Jesus kept that perfectly for us. When God looks at you and me, he sees Jesus. Thank God that Jesus is love. Thank God that love is Jesus. Let's read once again another definition for love that God gives us, this time from our scripture reading for this morning. 1 John 4, verse 10 says this, "This is love." So he's going to define love here. He says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins." Jesus showed us his love for us, and he showed us that he is the definition of God's love by doing what was truly best for us. Even though it caused him incredible pain, even caused him the agony of hell itself, caused him to be separated from his Father when he died on the cross for our sins. He didn't stay dead, however. He rose to life again the third day, to continue to show his love for us by doing what's truly best for us every day of our lives, for every single one of us. Everything. Every good thing and everything that we see as bad that God turns out for our good, everything was redeemed and purchased by the bloody death of Jesus Christ for us and continues to be worked in our lives through Christ. So finally, we come this morning to that part where we ask the question, now what? Now what? What are we going to do with this love? Now that we've defined it, now that we've been reminded what true love actually is, and that's been given to us in Jesus, what do? The answer very plainly and simply is that we go out and we give it away. We live it. Let's go back to one more quote from Pastor Piper, this time from one page later on in the book, under the section that says, "Loving people means pointing them to the all-satisfying God." He says this, "Now back to what it means to be loved. The idea has been almost totally distorted. Love has to do with showing a dying soul the life-giving beauty of the glory of God, especially his grace," which you might know means undeserved love. "We show God's glory in 100 practical ways that include care about food and clothes and shelter and health. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Every good work should be a revelation of the glory of God. Not to aim to show God is not to love, because God is what we need most deeply. And to have all else without him is to perish in the end. The Bible says that you can give away all that you have and deliver your body to be burned and have not love, as we read in our text for this morning. If you don't point people to God for everlasting joy, you don't love. You waste your life. Let's not waste our lives. Let's not even waste this Valentine's Day by not truly showing love to others, by not truly showing them what love is in Jesus. God has shown this great love to you and to me. Let's show it and give it to others today, this Valentine's Day, and always. As John wrote in our scripture reading, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit.
From our thankful hearts will now be received. Continue with the singing of hymn 700.
Thank you.
requested once again for Mitch Harillo this week. The Lord made it clear that he has a different direction for Mitch's life as he had to tap out during his Navy SEAL training during Hell Week. We pray for the Lord's direction and his guidance in Mitch's life. Are there any other prayer requests for this morning? Let's bring our prayers to our Father's throne. Dear Jesus, our Lord and Savior, how great is your love for us and how deep is your compassion. Lord, we thank you for the courage, the strength, and the willpower that you've given to Mitch, but most importantly, for the faith in you with which you have blessed him. Be with him, Lord, and strengthen his faith in you at this time, that he would fully trust that your will is best. Please give him clarity, acceptance, and peace as you guide his life in a new direction, for his true and certain good, as you have promised. O Savior, in your word you have told us that all people will know us as your disciples if we love each other. Give our hearts your love by your own love which you gave to us on the cross. Teach us by your example to help relieve our neighbor's burdens and afflictions and to be generous toward everyone in their time of need. Put from our hearts all greed and selfishness. Help us always to remember how unselfish your own sacrifice was for us. If we are wronged in any way, keep us from seeking revenge or from withholding our forgiveness. May your perfect love drive out all hatred from our hearts. Teach us that by whatever deeds of kindness and love we do to others, we are actually doing it to you. By giving us this greatest of all virtues, your love, help us to prove ourselves your disciples and children of the Heavenly Father. Continue your love toward us by forgiving our many sins, by comforting us in all of our sorrows, by rescuing us in all of our troubles and dangers, and by coming to our aid whenever we need your help. We ask these blessings because of your great love and your tender mercies, and we ask you to hear us now as we pray in your name the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to please rise. And receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn 706.
Thank you.
be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
On behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. I invite you to sign our guest book and invite you back to worship our Savior with us again in the near future. Just a couple of announcements. I have East Bay Worship Service again today at the usual time of 1 o'clock, and then Bible class will be at 2. Actually, today we have a council meeting after the worship service. Here at St. Stephen West, we have our elders meeting on Wednesday at 6:30, and church council meets then following that meeting at 7. You see in the back page of your bulletin an invitation to Bible class. We this morning began a study of the book Questioning the Bible, 11 Major Challenges to the Bible's Authority. I left a little sample of the foreword of the book for you in your bulletin. I invite you to take a look at that and invite you very warmly to come and join us for Bible study, a very timely and important Bible study. We have books available. If you'd like to donate to get one, that's fine. If not, please come and we'll supply you with one next week. Any other announcements that I'm forgetting this morning? Yeah? Oh, yes. Oh, I forgot to even say that. In Bible class officially. We have a visiting dignitary with us this morning. We have he laughed. Pastor Gareth from Phoenix, Arizona is here visiting with his wife. We welcome them to our midst this week and pray that they get safe travel back to the Phoenix area. Yes, Leslie.
I forgot to get in the bulletin that ladies auxiliary meets tomorrow night at my house at 6:30.
6:30 at the Hurlow residence. Tomorrow night, ladies auxiliary. Any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.